Welcome to the Disneyland with Kids podcast, where we help you plan your vacation in 30 minutes or less. We've got our eyes on Disneyland whenever you're planning to visit. Tickets bought today are good through the end of 2022. Get our exclusive low rates at disneylandwithkids.info/book. This episode is your Start Here guide to Disneyland. Don't skip these important beginner vacation steps. And if you're a pro yourself, now you can simply share this podcast episode with all your friends instead of sending them pages and pages of notes. I'm Jessica from The Happiest Blog on Earth.
And I'm Becca from This Crazy Adventure Called Life.
Becca, we have lots of pros in the Disneyland with Kids Facebook group. It's just this amazing mix because our newbies can get answers right away to so many questions, and there's a lot of people who really know their stuff.
There is, and it's really great. So we definitely want to suggest, if you're planning a Disneyland vacation, the first tip obviously is to join that group. And if you need an immediate answer to a question, there's a handy dandy little search icon that you can click on and search, and you'll get a lot of the past conversations to come up. So you may not even have to put yourself out there and ask questions or wait for responses. So definitely join the group.
Absolutely. So today, let's first talk about how Disneyland has become more of a plan in advance destination.
Oh gosh, yes. I feel like they're mixing like Walt Disney World and Disneyland together on both coasts. We're becoming more like Walt Disney World. They're becoming a little more like Disneyland. And you can't just show up, go up to the ticket booth and buy your ticket and then stroll into whichever park you want that day. You can't wake up in the morning and be like, oh, today I feel like California Adventure. So it's definitely changed. And there's a lot that people need to know before they head to Disneyland.
Right. I mean, those were the days when you could really just get up and go, especially for the locals. But it also made for a more stressful and wasted time during arrivals. I mean, I definitely remember getting there in the morning and you're all pumped and excited, but you have to wait however long to get your tickets. And back in the day, it felt like forever because that's the only way you could get your tickets is just get there in the morning, stand in line. So there's two super important Start Here, Do Not Pass Go items to check off your list when you're planning to go to Disneyland.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a big one, and that is your tickets and also the fact that you now need reservations for the park and other things that we'll get to later. But it used to be, you know, you could buy your tickets in advance, which we always suggest doing through our partners at Getaway Today, which you can do at disneylandwithkids.info/book. We have special discounted ticket rates for our group members and listeners, but you used to be able to just buy those, hold on to them, go whenever you wanted, you know, as long as you used them within the expiration and time frame given, and just walk up and scan into a park. And that's not the case anymore. So now you also need a park reservation. And so you can purchase your tickets discounted through Getaway Today, which is what we suggest. But then you have to go onto the Disneyland site as soon as you have your ticket information, enter that ticket information, link it to your Disneyland account, your Disney account, I should say, same one you sign in through with Disney Plus and all that, and make reservations for the park. And so that is a big change for a lot of people. And it's a little confusing for people. They think because they've put in their travel dates, you know, that means that they've made their reservation. And that's the big one we've seen in our group, is people confusing that these are actually two separate transactions. Like, you have to purchase through Getaway Today, but then go around and make your reservation still.
Yeah, and I want to add that this entire process, though we've explained it and taken a few minutes, it should take you about 5 minutes to do. You're purchasing tickets, they're coming right to your email, and you are plugging those in and getting your reservation dates. A lot of people want to know, well, how do I know that my dates are available? You can actually check that on the Disneyland website as you're purchasing tickets, and chances are really good that you're going to be just fine. We actually haven't had any circumstances of people purchasing, seeing the reservation, and then reserving and it's gone. Like, as long as you're doing that in that process, in those few minutes, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, and we also haven't seen a ton of days booking up too far in advance. So, you know, as long as you're planning your vacation, like most of our listeners will be, at least, you know, a good 30 days in advance, you should be able to get your reservation dates. But definitely the closer it gets and busier times, you're going to have to plan a little farther in advance. So you cannot plan the week before winter / Christmas break to go to Disneyland and hope that there'll be reservations available, because it may not happen.
Right. But reservations for tickets do open 120 days in advance. So if you're really on the ball, you can be ready to go that 120 days in advance. Okay, Becca, so moving on, what's another thing that more and more people are doing in advance and lately has been a huge headache?
Oh my gosh, I'm going through this right now for my next trip that I'm planning, and that is dining reservations, Jessica. Oh my heavens. They are like the golden ticket, it feels like, lately.
It does.
I feel like every time I score my reservation, I need to do that dance that they do in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with his grandpa. And I got the golden ticket. But seriously, it's been chaotic. Disney says they released their dining reservations 60 days in advance. However, they have not been very reliable with that, I guess would be the word. Mm-hmm. And some of that's due to staffing issues. Some of that is just due to, you know, not exactly knowing what the hours are going to be. There's a lot of reasons for that. But thankfully for our listeners, we have figured something out that helps with that. And that is mouse dining. And it is amazing. And I love it. And you can get it for free. So I'm going to let you explain it a little bit more, because I feel like, even though I've used it, I feel like you've had a little more experience with it.
Perfect. So first, I want to say you do not have to have dining reservations. This is just something that we like to suggest. Becca typically does one sit-down meal during her whole trip. I like to do a sit-down meal each day. And another reason why they're like in such high demand is because we only have a small number of sit-down dining in each park. But if that's not your thing, you can totally still get food at Disneyland. You won't go hungry. I promise you that. So mouse dining, and we have the link in the show notes, is a service that you can get free dining alerts. So say you are going over the winter break and you want to score Lamplight Lounge for December 26th. It's a very popular day and you're going to want to score Lamplight Lounge. Let me tell you that. But you just put in your info. You say, I'm looking for Lamplight Lounge on this date for this many people. And then mouse dining is going to send you emails anytime those dates and times open up so that you can snag them really quickly. And it's a free service. They also have an upgraded option that they will text you. But if you are just quick on it, you should be able to get those. And everybody in the group has been really excited about using mouse dining. So we hope you'll go through our link in the show notes and set up a free account.
Yeah, and I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but I think just because, you know, in case someone isn't where they can get to the show notes easily, we're going to set up a link in lbdisneywithkids.info/dining, and you'll be able to get there just by going to that link. So disneywithkids.info/dining. And just to be 100%, you know, authentic and open, it is an affiliate link. We do earn a tiny bit of money, but you still get the service for free. So totally. It helps our podcast awesome. Here. All right. Yeah.
Well, we've got a few more things to hit in our Start Here Disneyland guide, and many are tied to more technology. So give us a quick rundown and then we'll hit each one individually.
Oh my heavens. Okay. This is like, we have the Disneyland app, which we have a full episode on. We have virtual queues are a huge thing right now and ever changing, it seems. And we have the upcoming Disney Genie and Disney Genie Plus and Lightning Lanes and the millions of terms with that we just did an episode on recently. And now PhotoPass is all digital, which, you know, it used to be you could purchase a CD of your PhotoPass. And so that's a big change for a lot of people too. So those are the main ones. And then we also have things like mobile ordering that's inside of the app and stuff like that. But in general, those cover what you need to know technology-wise.
Oh my gosh, I feel like I'm going to have to take a class. But I kind of have, and that's what we're here for, is to walk you through that. But does this mean that I'm going to be tied to my phone the entire trip?
You'll definitely be using it a lot more. It's the good thing about it is you can be as tied to your phone as you want to be. You don't have to use any of these services to enjoy a day at Disneyland, right? Okay. They just are there as tools to help you navigate the parks and do things a little smoother. And I definitely do suggest, you know, having a backup battery or purchasing a fuel rod, whatever it is, if you plan to use these tools. But nothing is required. You don't have to do any of these things, with the exception of virtual queues if you want to ride certain rides. So...
All right. So if you are into technology, you can get used to this. We can help you. If you are not, grab the youngest person that's coming with you who has a device, and they will walk you through this. They will figure it out. But
right.
Let's start with the Disneyland app.
All right. Yeah, we have a whole episode kind of walking people through the Disneyland app. We'll link that down in the show notes, and definitely worth going to that episode, grabbing your phone, your smart device, and download the Disneyland app and playing around with that while you're listening to the episode. It's a great way to familiarize yourself with the app. And that's where almost all of these technology tools are going to take place. In fact, it is where all of the technology tools during your visit will take place, is inside the app. That's the dining reservations are even made inside the app, your virtual queues, your photo pass, everything is done within that app. So definitely listen to that episode, download that, play with it before. And like Jessica said, if nothing else, grab the youngest person that's going with you and let them, you know, you can even put them in charge of it if you want.
Just that's like, a great idea. So you mentioned virtual queue, Disney Genie, photo pass, mobile ordering, all those things. Do I need an extra app for any of these?
You don't need an extra app for any of those. However, there is the Play Disney Parks app that some people like to download. And that's kind of like a interactive way to enjoy the parks. And it's not necessary, but it does, a lot of people find, help keep little kids entertained in line sometimes. So that's the only extra add-on you might want, but it's definitely not a need.
Okay, because sometimes it gets annoying having to download all these extra apps. So at least we know it's in one app right now, and it's been since this app has been released. It has a blue background with the White Castle. Is that right?
Correct, and it's the official Disneyland app put out by Disney. So if it says anyone else, you're in the wrong app.
And it's free. The app itself is free.
Yes.
All right, that's a lot, but good to know that we can just get these all through one app. And you mentioned earlier, it's the same login info you use for things like Disney Plus and Shop Disney. So you might already have an account set up. That's another thing. I'm always like, oh, great, a new account, a new password for all these things that we use in our lives. But most likely you already have an account set up. And it sounds like smooth sailing once you've got this down and you can just head right into the parks.
As far as the app, sure. But you can, but don't just head to the parks. I have an article I think everyone should go read, but we'll touch a little bit on it right now. And that is items that are banned from the parks. And so you can't just head to the park. You're going to have to go through security. You're going to get some bag checks. And we don't want anyone having to surrender an item or do a walk of shame back to their car or hotel. And I just want to touch on like the big one right now, and that I've seen a lot of walks of shame for, and that's wagons.
Yes.
Wagons are not allowed in the parks. And since this is Disneyland with kids, we know a lot of people are bringing strollers or wagons. And so Nothing that pulls behind you. Wagons, coolers, suitcases, can't bring those into the parks. But wagons, even if they're push ones, are technically banned. You may see some in the parks where people have gotten a medical exemption or a ADA exemption for those. But in general, just don't bring the wagons. Bring strollers. And if you don't have a stroller, you can always rent one from a company in the area or from Disney themselves. So that's the big one. I've just seen so many walks of shame with the wagons that people really need to know about that one.
Yeah, and it's changed a lot over the past couple of years, where first they said only push wagons, and they said only these type of push wagons, and now it's just no wagons, like you said, unless you get that exemption. But even that, I've heard, is a little bit tricky to get. Like, it takes a lot of effort. And other things you can't bring are things that hopefully we know, like no weapons, but you can't even bring something that looks like a weapon.
Right.
Lightsabers are permitted, but I'm talking about like bubble guns. Anything with a trigger is a no-no. But there's also some things that people might think are banned, but they're actually okay. Can you go over some of those?
Yeah, so let's just talk. A big one is edibles, and it's legal in California also to have, you know, smokables. We'll call them that.
Edibles and smokables.
it's not allowed in the parks, and it's a private business, so they're allowed to ban that. We also, the big one that you wouldn't think about right now, getting off that topic, is loose ice. So you're packing a cooler. You can't just fill it with loose ice from the ice machine. You can, however, put ice in a gallon size bag and put that inside of your cooler. Because, you know, a lot of hotels, they may have a mini fridge, but nothing that's going to freeze ice packs or anything. So what we've done is we've put our ice inside a gallon size bag, put that in the cooler. And then after we eat what's in there or whatever, we're able to pour that now ice water into our reusable water bottles. Sweet. So we have more cool ice water without having to stand in line to get it in the parks. But yeah, there's lots of little things. So definitely we always link important articles like this in the show notes. Go check that article out. And I try to keep it up to date, especially, you know, when there's major changes like the ice and things like that. Okay. So another one, though, I do want to point out is selfie sticks. Don't bring your selfie stick. What? They're not allowed. Anything that extends like a selfie stick, they'll tell you you can't take in.
Okay, so I do want to just back up a second, because right before you listed those things, I said things that are allowed, are okay. But those things that we just talked about are not okay. Yeah, you may not bring in those things.
I don't listen very well.
it's very strange. I mean, I guess it's not strange. I shouldn't say strange. We have this conversation a lot, especially regarding marijuana products, in the Disneyland with Kids Facebook group. So like we mentioned, those aren't allowed. Alcohol, you can't bring in your own alcohol, even if it looks like water but doesn't smell like water, you can't bring it in. Things like that. And of course, like Becca mentioned, we know that those are legal, but they have prohibited those, as well as edibles and things like that. So don't bring that in. But if your food isn't laced with anything, you can bring that in.
Sorry. I just can't see any of our listeners lacing their food, so that's why I laugh. But I'm sure there are people that may have been thinking about it because it is legal, and so you just think, you know. But yeah, I don't listen very well, so I didn't catch you said are allowed. But yes,
no worries.
Food is allowed, but food, not those other things allowed that I mentioned.
Yes, bring in your own snacks, bring in your own food, whatever you want to do to keep yourself like within your budget, and that is fantastic. Okay, so we've got our tickets, reservations, we're familiar with the Disneyland app, and we left all our banned items at home. So let's move on to actually starting our day in the parks. And at the top of your list, you should have a plan. What are some of the things that go into building a plan for your vacation?
All right, so obviously the first thing is you need to know which parks you're going to, which day you've already made your reservations, have that. But the next thing you need to know is the current park information. So that could include guidelines right now because of masking and all of that stuff. You'll want to know what the guidelines are. And park hours, the two different parks have different hours usually, so definitely check on that. Usually California Adventure will close an hour. I see in the fall, it's even going to have a 2-hour difference some nights before Disneyland. And then the big one that's new to people is the park hopping guidelines. Because a lot of us that used to purchase park hopping tickets, we were just like, okay, I'll go to California Adventure for an hour and then I'll go to Disneyland, you know, and that's not the case anymore. Right now, it's you can't park hop until 1 o'clock, and that time may change later on, but I still think there's going to be some kind of rule of when you're allowed to park hop. So that's a big one to make sure that you're aware of.
Right. But after 1 p.m., as long as capacity is flexible, you can go back and forth as many times as you want.
Right.
So even having no plan is some type of plan, as long as you realize that's how you want to do Disneyland. So I don't ever like to force people into like a strict must do this by 9 a.m. and do this by 10 a.m. But I think just knowing that you are the type to go with the flow or whatever your plan is. I mean, we can go from as simple to as complex as you want. But simply walking into the park and going on the first ride you see just might not be the best strategy. Knowing what rides you won't go on can be a strategy, and then hitting everything else along the way.
Right. And when you're creating your own plan, which if you don't want to create your own plan, I'm throwing in a little plug here for Jessica, because she does offer custom plans and even has printable plans on her site. And we'll have that link down in the show notes. But if you are creating your own plan, there are some really important things to know. And one of them is, we touched on it, virtual queues. And I want to touch on it a little bit more, just because every time I have gone to the park since the reopening, I have been standing in line for security, and I hear at least one group of people say, the virtual queues are already gone. We can't ride Rise of the Resistance, or we can't ride Web Slingers. Yes, because you needed to be on at 7 a.m. to get those, and they're gone within seconds. I mean, so this is something that it's very stressful for Disneyland people. We're not used to this. You know, Walt Disney Worlders were used to 6 months in advance being on at 12:01 a.m. to get their dining reservations. That's not something we've ever had to deal with. And so these virtual queues that we have to be on, be ready, be signed into the Disneyland account, it's stressful for a lot of us, and a lot of people don't realize it. And so virtual queues, we won't go too much into it here, but it's definitely something you need to learn about. And thankfully, unlike, you know, a while ago where you only had that 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. chance, now you have a second chance later in the day. So if you miss that early one, we do have that you can try again. But it's still something you must plan ahead for. Anything you want to add about virtual queues before I go to my next one?
Yeah, I would just say that all four of the co-founders of Disneyland with Kids have articles on virtual queues. I think it's great to read all of them because we all share our different experiences and kind of tips that work for us, and we all learn differently. So that's why I think each of us has something to offer just to get used to virtual queues.
Yeah, and one other thing I'll add about, we do have a podcast episode where we talk about everyone's experience getting it back when it was the 8 a.m. But also, you can practice this. I mean, you can't practice clear to the point of getting a virtual queue. But you, if you have tickets loaded in the app, you can go in and practice the virtual queue. So that's definitely something I suggest practicing and getting used to. Okay, so I'm just going to move on. I'm not even going to give you a chance to reply. The next thing I think a lot of people that are going with kids, since we are Disney with Kids, need to learn about is knowing the height requirements. Just because there, one, we have, even if you've looked at Walt Disney World, we have rides that have different height requirements. So like Space Mountain at Walt Disney World is a higher height requirement than at Disneyland. So, these are things that you want to check on make sure you're looking specifically at Disneyland. I know I have an article that lists all of it. You can look in the Disneyland app to see what each height requirement is, but it's definitely something to know, to check your kids' heights and be familiar with. Check them without shoes, standing on a hard floor, and just underestimate their height. I have gone and measured all of the height requirements markers several years ago. They're pretty accurate, but just always, if they're right on the edge, don't get them hyped up for a ride that they may not be able to go on.
Exactly. I hear a lot of people, oh, my kids love cars. It's the one thing we want to go on. And unfortunately, Radiator Springs Racers doesn't accommodate everyone that loves cars, because it's quite one of the higher ones. But the good news is there's other things in Cars Land that your cars kids will love. And a lot of people call Radiator Springs Racers the Cars ride. Well, you know, if your kid isn't quite tall enough, we can always call Luigi's the Cars ride too.
Yeah. And Mater's. Mater's is a fun one too. And those both have much smaller height requirements. You know, and along with that, you know, you don't want to get them hyped up for a ride they may not be tall enough for. You also don't want to get them hyped up for a ride that may be closed during your visit. And so I always suggest, you know, I put out monthly guides on my site that say what rides are going to be closed. I think you have something that talks about what rides are closed. And I know the Disneyland website under park hours, if you go into the day view, you can see what rides are scheduled to be closed. Now, of course, rides can go down for other reasons during your visit, but at least this way, like, you're not going and prepping your kid to get excited for Thunder Mountain while Thunder Mountain is currently under a refurbishment until, you know, a few weeks from now or whatever. So it's a good thing to do, especially if you have kids that you're trying to get excited for new rides or favorite rides. You want to make sure they're aware that some rides will not be open. The other thing, Jessica, is entertainment options. Like, we all think of the, you know, the pictures we see where the kid's on the dad's shoulders with the Mickey ear hat on and they're watching the fireworks behind the castle. And if you're going during the week, during non-peak season, so basically anytime other than summer and maybe winter, there's not going to be nightly fireworks. So if you're not going on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you may not get fireworks. You may only get projections. Or learning what the entertainment options are during your visit is also important. A lot of people think, I'm just going for the rides, but there's fireworks, there's, you know, parades, there's usually Fantasmic and World of Color, and even things as simple as going into Animation Academy or the Disney Junior Dance Party. Those things may not be around. In fact, Disney Junior Dance Party still isn't reopened, and that isn't available. So definitely look into what entertainment options are available. And even if you think you're not going to do them, you may find you are looking for them, especially in the heat of the day.
Yeah, they're such good breaks too. And even just stopping and watching some of the bands play throughout the park, give yourself a few minutes, grab some popcorn or a churro and sit there and just enjoy. Becca, this has been so great. I think getting some of these things out of the way before the trip happens can actually lower our stress levels during the trip. Now, as always, we wrap up our discussions with a Disneyland Would You Rather. Chrissy G asks in the Disneyland with Kids group, would you rather go to Disneyland in April with a 9-month-old or August with a 13-month-old? And she also adds that they're flying across country for this trip. Becca, what would you rather do?
Hands down, the 9-month-old in April. Hands down. Like, no debate about that.
Okay, give me your reasons.
9-month-old, most likely, unless you're my oldest, is not walking yet. So they're not going to want to walk everywhere and run around while they're still small enough that people will trip over them and, you know, and you have to bend over to hold their hand. The heat is also a little better for if you're baby wearing or just anything. Like, August is hot in Disneyland, and I get cranky with my kids, and like, it's really hard with a little one. And just, they'll nap better in the stroller at 9 months. There's just so many reasons. Yeah. They're easier to feed. Like, you can still mostly do, you know, formula or nursing, whichever you're doing. And they're happy. Like, you just have to have the snacks for practice. So lots of reasons, but hands down 9-month-old for me.
Yeah, that's what I would choose as well. So it'll be interesting to see what Chrissy ends up deciding, but I would choose 9 months for a lot of the same reasons. Also, 9 months and 13 months, you're still looking at the same attractions, which are actually a ton. Mm-hmm. I believe there's 20 plus attractions at Disneyland that have no height requirement. So there's not going to be any change there. And I did skim through the answers in some of our Disneyland with Kids discussion here, and some people had suggested August because they feel like April will be too busy with spring break crowds. So I still think April. Spring break is spread out through March and April, so mm-hmm. it really gives us 2 months. It's not like 1 week of spring break. And I got to bring food into this. It's Food and Wine Festival usually in April. Yeah. So if they get to come during that, there's so many great things to snack on and push that 9-month-old around in the stroller while you stroll through all those food festival booths. So I'm picking April as well.
Yep, I totally agree.
You've been listening to Jessica and Becca helping you start your Disneyland vacation off right. And if you're returning to the park soon, be sure to visit disneylandwithkids.info/events to plan along with us and maybe say hello at one of our in-park meetups coming soon.